Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us today. This is Kathy Santos, the founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, headquartered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it's a really beautiful day here today on a Monday. It's noon Eastern Standard Time, and we have just an informational program scheduled for today, and just want to talk a little bit about some of the goings-ons. Invites that I've been receiving concerning the women veterans community, and I'm just proud, so very proud to see such support and camaraderie across the country with women veterans who have joined with the various groups and given voice to many issues, particularly the issue of rape in the military. And I may want to talk a little bit about some of the events that I see that are being planned over the next couple of months or weeks. One being Walk Against Rape, March 24th in Washington, D.C., and also the May event being scheduled by SWAN, the summit to address the rape issue in the military and to bring many of the advocates together. I'm just delighted that there is this platform that these women can now get some help that they need. And I know that this is the time President Obama has committed, along with the first lady through the Women's Council on, the White House Council on Women and Girls. They have committed to addressing the issues that we face, including homelessness, which they had vowed to end homelessness in 5 years. And I think we are somewhere seeing quite a bit of results. There's been a lot of funding put into construction of homes and living quarters for, quarters or living facilities for women veterans and their families. So we're just delighted that we are at this place in such a historical time, in my opinion, for women in general, but certainly for the women veterans to be recognized in such an honorable way. And having the kind of voice now that's being given to them and to us across the country. And I'm just very proud to be a part of it and a part of the history that has allowed us to be here today. The one thing I did want to talk about was our upcoming event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on March 30th, where we will be discussing and paying tribute to women veterans and honorary veterans for their support of our community, particularly our Philadelphia City Councilwoman Janie L. Blackwell, who is a very strong veteran supporter and has just been so open and trying to address as many of the needs that she has been able to. And I'm just delighted that we can just give her a little recognition on this day and in many other groups that may be available to attend, but certainly they have been responding to my request to send in some type of a support letter for our program booklet when they're not available to come. And so we're just delighted that we have these activities generated across the country. I've gotten emails and all over where these individuals are just doing extraordinary work, And I'm going to just break in a minute here because I want to follow up on a particular discussion, and I'm trying to see if I can get someone on the line here, but if not, that's not the case. I just want to continue on with this monologue. In a minute here. So let us just take a second here to be reminded that this is Black History Month here in our country, where we celebrate those deserving military. And I had the opportunity to kind of in a, at the last minute be invited to a program at the American Legion here in our city of Philadelphia, where we had speakers, and we've got a wonderful history of some of our great women who have Sacrifice from Cafe Williams of the Buffalo Soldiers. There was we talked about Shoshana Johnson, who was one of our POWs as of recent doing the Iraq War. We just talked about so many women. Harriet Tubman being declared a veteran in 2005 and given veteran status as a woman, having participated as a spy in the Civil War. And, you know, we have history. And one of the statements that the historian was said that I'll never forget was they said, women can fight. Women can fight. And, you know, that's one of the things that I believed, you know, dating back many years when I started testifying about this. Women can fight. We are trained. We are mentally strengthened, having been conditioned in our military training and so forth. So what's going on when we transition back to our homes and we're certainly limited in our abilities to function and to sustain ourselves? What's going on? So that's been an ongoing question of mine for many, many years, because women can fight. And when trained to fight by our government, particularly the military training, we have women who are generals. And, you know, I've been so blessed to have met so many great generals. We have our General Charles Harris, who is executive director and, you know, participates with the First Lady on the White House Council of Women and Girls. We have the General Hertog, who's at the Pentagon. These women have histories of great training in our military, and their backgrounds are solid, and we want to make sure that we don't forget them, because they are still standing on the battlefield fighting for us in their administrative duties at the White House level and the Pentagon level, and we need to make sure that we recognize them, not to dismiss our civilian support. And I'm saying that because we have those individuals who have taken on civilians, who have taken on a fight and being a voice. And I just want to make sure that we feed that voice from what needs to be said so it can produce what it needs to produce for us. And one in particular, I'm talking about Nancy Parrish, who was introduced to the veterans community through Congresswoman Spears, who's been very active on the floor talking about our issues. And this is a great, great platform. And we don't want to alienate ourselves by taking this platform and misrepresenting information or not strategizing and presenting a united front or strategy for inclusion at this particular level. I think that it's important that as much as we want to have as many stories told, the arts and what the validity of those who told those stories, not to compromise where we have arisen to in the 2012. I do know that some of the reluctance to listen to many of our stories and so forth, it has been an issue, but Panetta, under the direction of President Obama, has given us his ear. We want to make sure that nothing compromises that over time. And, you know, we need to be united on some of the issues that are at the forefront. And the one thing that I do oppose is not educating those who may speak out with minimal or no knowledge about the background or the culture. And as much as there are many, many women veterans who may be sharing similar platforms, we want to make sure that the strength of our conversations are valid and truthful and honest, so that they will not come back to haunt us, so to speak, in years to come, or that it compromises the position of any legislation or any positioning we may have now with anybody who may be listening to us or we have their attention. So I'm just encouraged that we do have the necessary platforms, and we do have the sufficient voices, but we want to strategically position ourselves and make sure that that is what will take us and continue on in the work that has already been done. I will say that you listen with your ears, but you also listen with your heart and your mind. So your intellect has to tell you some of the things that has been traditionally part of the obstacles in the past. And so I open up the the platforms that I share for those who are available. And, you know, sometimes we have to know who these people are who tell their stories, and it has to be a platform of inclusion that is provided, and not someone who may have some agenda that may want to decide who's the talks and who doesn't talk and how this thing gets formed, because it's already established. It was established years ago. When I came out here and spoke before Congress 20 years ago, there was already an established platform that when I spoke, there were movies made as it is now. There were people that were paid millions of dollars that did not take on a platform of advocacy for the other suffering veterans. So when those who seeking to get $25,000 or $50,000 from corporations to create a platform, we want to make sure that it makes sense for advocacy that will propel the agenda and not an organization. So I'll continue to speak out on that and pay close attention to those who believe that it's about the money that that will propel this. There are many organizations. There are many women who have a voice. But we want to make sure that they are not for sale, or they are not compromising by accepting dollars from anybody that want to either shut them up or to pay to them, because they know or recognize that they have not the ability to articulate what needs to be articulated on the issues. And the one main issue that is not being talked about is research and ethics. Well, I got a chance to speak to the director of research at the National Military, Women Veterans Training Summit in Washington in this past July. And what was disturbing to me is that as much as that discussion was somewhat fleshed out, I thought it was a misrepresentation of the facts, the way I know them from my own experience and those of the other women veterans. Research and ethics is a very, very serious issue, as much as rape in the military or any other problem that may exist where it affects the soldier or the military person adversely. So I'm going to continue to pay attention to what people believe is a platform for getting sponsorships and so forth, and that the truth does have a voice. The truth will be told. And because a lot of times that these individuals I know are many of these organizations, I know these individuals that are now taking on these platforms, and I knew them years ago when their platform was not military sexual trauma, but it was something else. And I was insulted by these same women who now want to take on this platform, and I want to make sure that that respect is given to those who stood the ground, and they now believe that this is a platform where we must be open and equal amongst ourselves. We're asking for justice for the veterans, but are we providing justice and equality to each other by allowing those who doesn't necessarily have a popular voice, but to get in and tell their stories as well. So we want to make sure that that equality and justice is first given to each other as women veterans, and that respect, and so that it will have the kind of integrity that it needs to have, because I have the knowledge and the history of those individuals who are out here to the front, but I am reserved in that I do believe there is some validity to their abilities to articulate what needs to happen, but I am surely paying attention to those, and I will certainly present those challenges as what their root causes are, if need be, in time in the future, if necessary. I have studied these individuals. I researched them. I've been in their platforms, but the conversations sound nothing like it sounds today, in years past. So we must need to be open and honest about who's doing the talking, and even in light of Ms. Trott, who had Trotter, I believe Liz Trotter, who has a comment to say, the abilities to block or stop is very limited. We are restricted from stopping people from talking, but we are not restricted from educating and empowering those who do have that microphone. The medium is a very, very powerful tool in advocacy, and we must take advantage of it and not use those opportunities when we have them to alienate ourselves from those, but to encourage them to speak from a position of education. So we educate them on our knowledge, on our experiences. That's why it's important that we have those at the forefront who know. If they don't know, they cannot be the voice. So I continue to watch who's being a voice And when those voices do not sound like the history and my experience, I have to withdraw. That is not my voice. And just make a distinct separation and voice my displeasure or whatever my position is in opposition to whoever they're speaking, because everybody is not speaking for everybody. So when that voice is being heard, and they're saying we're speaking for the women veterans, I, because of my experience, and I do believe that I'm an expert on this issue, and I have to give that to myself because nobody else believes that I'm deserving of such a position, but I will take authority over that because of what I've had to experience through the suffering and through what was required of me to gain the knowledge that I did to get to this point. So I am taking the authority in that. I'm saying if those individuals are not qualified to make those statements for women veterans across the board, I will certainly present a statement in those times. And I'm not reluctant to do so in any means or at any time. And that is where we are with the National Alliance of Women Veterans. We laid the foundation back in 1992 on the heels of some other veterans who at that time have been paid off and given movies of which no other veterans ever benefited. So I want to make sure, that's why I want to make sure that we are very strategic in how we align ourselves with those organizations that now want to be a voice for women veterans not having any experience of the comparison to what I know for other veterans across the country that are not being very vocal right now, maybe because they don't have a platform or they've been somehow opted out by some other who don't believe that they qualify to be on this platform. But that's a decision that's going to be made by those who have connected over the years and not by those who seem to have some tough gain popularity at this time. So as much as it may look like there's something going on with certain groups, I am certainly watching and have the ears of those that can will know the difference. And we will continue to make sure that our voices are heard, despite the fact that, we are not visibly in that front line of individuals, military and non-military people. We are at the table, as much as I was recently told that to take a back seat. You're not at the table. You're not even part of the discussion. That was somewhat insulting to another woman veteran, but it only allows me to know that there needs to be more education even amongst us. We need to respect ourselves and respect those who actually have been out here long before these individuals decided this is the platform that they wanted to take on. It's nothing to take lightly, and certainly it's something that I believe I have earned the right to continue on in the work, and there is not a challenge that I will not take on this issue. So we will just move forward and get that understanding clear to those who may listen to this broadcast that we are women veterans and we do have a camaraderie, but we are individuals who have varied levels of pain and suffering, and we have yet to overcome that so we can articulate and understand there is no threat here. There is no threat because there is no fight. We are all working toward a common goal, and that is to resolve our problems. And as much as they hear from different angles, we all do have the same goal in mind, and that is to resolve our issues. And we will continue to pay a close attention to how that unfolds over time. On March 2nd of this month, I will be speaking at Drexel University, where there's a platform of individuals who have rejected us locally in Philadelphia, and we will be sharing the platform, and I will be delighted to present and take on any challenge from these individuals who have been at the forefront of just dominating funding and just causing confusion, actually. But we will be able to address that issue in a realistic way. And I'm just grateful for the platform. And, you know, if we don't talk to these individuals, they will never know the problems that they're causing because they really don't include you in their discussion. You are an entity. And if you're not there to hear what they're saying, then you wonder why things are happening. It's because you have not been aggressive and pushing to the table and getting your voice heard. But that's not the case of the National Alliance of Women Veterans. We have a presence. We are 7 years strong, and we will continue to do our work and pushing the agenda forward, having laid a strong foundation in 2006 with our first Women Veterans Tribute. And we are delighted that we have support from our local elected officials in that they now recognize that women veterans are speaking out, we are empowered and taking control of our lives. We are educated, and we are a force to be reckoned with, because we are continuing to unite. And this is in my opinion, it's a snowball effect with all of these women who have come together across the country. They're being aggressive. They realize that there have been obstacles that they could have overcome years ago. Now they know that they have to take somewhat the fall, and it's in their courts. And we are going to do what needs to be done. And I'm delighted to be a part of these discussions and to be have this microphone, this medium that allows me to speak from my position, because the voice all comes together as one at the end of the day. And we cannot be mistaken that this is a united front here. And these are some strong women, and these women know and understand what needs to happen for them. But even behind the scenes, there are some other discussions where, you know, we want to make sure that it's accuracy and honesty, and what makes sense is what we're listening to. And that will be continual discussion, and certainly my push, because the attention that we have from our government, they are at our mercy. They're doing everything that they can to stop what needs to happen. The rapes in the military, you're talking about individuals who you don't know their mindset, and we don't know from the root causes of these problems. But the research that we're doing and the types of information that's being collected will allow us to get into the minds. What is going on? I myself have a philosophy and a belief, and until I'm asked, I'll reserve that or read about in my book. But I do believe that there is some other issues that are not being discussed, as though it's a phenomenon or a plague, and the rape in the military is not a plague. These are actions, and these actions can be determined by sometimes who it is that is causing them. And sometimes they also can be looked at by, I'm going to say that we're not necessarily victims in every case. Military women are not necessarily always victims. We have been trained to do what we do, and we don't want to confuse those who are at the table and say at the end of the day, listen, let them work it out. Because if we continue to come divided to the table on our issues, not having a united front, I do believe that there will be some concern about what the validity of the information is that we are getting, because there are questions that are being asked from both sides on the validity, and we need to make sure that we take advantage of these platforms in a realistic way. And I'm going to just leave that discussion here for now. The Walk Against Rape is being held at the in Capitol Hill on March 24th, and we also want to continue to keep this medium open for those who want to talk about what it is. This medium is the foundation for a public radio. Hopefully we can get some syndicated medium in the near future, but certainly we're going to continue to push for a long more time if this is a call, a need for women veterans. And I see that, you know, oftentimes we are only listened to, but no one wants to actually participate, because we talk from a different voice. And I don't necessarily agree with you just because you're at the forefront. And I'm not going to agree with you just because you may have more money or you may have more support. I'm going to agree because I know the truth. And if the truth is not to the forefront, I'm withdrawing. I'm going to separate myself and run as fast as I can, because a sinking ship will take everything with it. And I'm not going to assume just because a person is being funded that they necessarily have the truth. And again, there we are with a needing strategy. We need strategy across the board. And we need to really take advantage of these opportunities when we can have these discussions on that. And I'm not going to qualify anybody. They qualify themselves, but I would certainly challenge any issue that I know is misrepresentation of what the agenda is for what this platform is stood for. So I'm just going to thank all of you for allowing me to voice my position here on some of the issues that have been brought to me over the past couple of days through either email or some indirect source. And we're going to move forward And with our agenda for this month, with Women's History Month, and we're going to look to see a lot of activities on women veterans because they're creating platforms to celebrate themselves. Again, this is Kathy Santos. I'm sounding off from Women Veterans Speak, Blog Talk Radio, Mondays at noon. Please join us again next week. Thank you so much for listening on today. And please, if you desire to have a program or to share in our program, please let it be known to us through email or through Facebook at Doing That. And we'd be more than happy to set something up for you to share in your platform. And we look forward to hearing you or to speaking on these issues on next Monday at noon. Thank you so much, and please have a wonderful, wonderful week. This is Kathy Santos, founder of Manfred Life Women Veterans. Please find us on Facebook and Twitter at Doing That. Have a wonderful day.